You guys know there's a lot of different types of intelligence. Okay. I have very little in the way of when technology is screwing up, believe it or not. So I married that intelligence, and he is great. My husband's an IT director, so a lot of times that's what he does all day, and then he gets home, and I'm like, I yelled at it, I prayed over it, and he's like, oh, please don't touch it ever again, and he will, you know, he's very gracious and has helped with that. So you're wondering, well, then how would you know about social media? Well, my doctorate is in church leadership, but for the last several months, well, about 2 years, I've been in part of a launch for something called the Nurturing Faith Collective, which is a children's and family ministry branch out of Bethel Seminary, which is in St. Paul. Some of you might have heard of that one. It's in St. Paul. So I want you guys to pull out your phones, because I'm going to, this is actually something that will help you understand what I'm talking about today. If you have Facebook on there, I want you to put in the Nurturing Faith Collective. And if you look down that list for the Nurturing Faith Collective, all of that is me. So for the last 2 years, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, I post. So I have to create the posts working with the two doctors that founded the Nurturing Faith Collective. So we decide on what the posts will be, and then I create the posts that they want. So I am not the one that does the coaching on there. I'm not the one that, I have written some of their resources, but I don't do the what they're teaching, right? So I just make their social media presence boom. So if you follow that one, you'll see what they're launching. This is a new thing that they're launching with coaching and different resources and writings. And you'll see some of mine if you go to the writings or resources. I've let them use some of mine in there. So I had a big journey with that because I was working with the church in Dayton. That's where I was kids pastor for a long time, Christian Life Center in Dayton, Ohio. We moved back up to Wisconsin, love my home state, where they used to say when I was little, on Lambeau Field, where God is a local call. But now kids don't get that. They're like, what's a local call? Then you have to try to explain what long distance is, because they don't know what that is. So I'm back in Wisconsin now, but for a long time I was at a very large church there in Dayton, Ohio. And we had to have a social media presence. So that was my first experience with creating a social media presence. Then I got this job working for the Nurturing Faith Collective, and I have to be able to not only create those five posts a week, I have to engage people in getting traffic, boosting traffic, putting it towards social media. So this is what I've been doing. They had me take a whole bunch of classes, this lady out in California. And so this is the class I taught in Orlando at CPC. So if you were at CPC and heard me teach on this, you lucky people get to hear it twice. So your heavyweight digital presence, let's go ahead and look at this first one. We got a lot of detail, so I'm just going to jump right in, and I will take questions at the end. It's going to be very practical. So, speaking the language, we all know what a missionary is. A missionary shares the gospel in the language of those they are called to serve. Your communication on social media is straight from Scripture. Like, what? Social media is the devil. No, it is a language. Your communication on social media is straight from Scripture. This is why your social media must be consistent, well-maintained, and done with excellence. So say, wait, what are you talking about? Well, if I ask my sixth graders, fifth and sixth graders, just about all of them have a phone, and you can say that's good or bad, just terrible, but it's true. and they spend most of their time on a screen. And they said it's literally changed the synapses in the brain, that they have a shorter attention span, and they communicate in a language that I have to try to understand. Okay, I have a 22-year-old and a 20-year-old, and I have to ask them sometimes, what did they say? And they'll translate for me. So that helps. You say, well, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to do that. Okay, here's the thing. You are a missionary. So you need to get in that missionary mindset. If God calls me to go be a missionary in China, I used this last night, and I go over there and scream at the kids in Russian for 6 hours and then say, well, I did my job. I guess those kids are awful. They're just all awful, and they won't behave, and they don't pay attention. I wasn't speaking the language. So if I'm going over there sent by God as a missionary, whose job is it to learn the language? Do those kids all need to learn Russian? No, I need to learn their language. I'm the missionary. Okay? So if you want to communicate, then you have to learn the language. Like it or not, you need to learn the language, and it's on you to learn the language. And this is the primary way that this generation communicates. But you also have a bigger problem. I say opportunity. Kids pastors, kids ministry leaders, kids volunteers, you have to be not just bilingual, but trilingual, quadlingual, because you are not just communicating with the kids, you are communicating with their parents, sometimes the grandparents. I have several where the grandparents are actually the ones bringing them to church. A lot of your volunteers, you have volunteers that are Gen Z. You have volunteers that are millennials. You have volunteers that are my age. We don't want to talk about that. We have ones that are Gen X, and then we have ones that are boomers or even beyond. We had a guy that was in his 80s. He was just a wonderful volunteer. He'd dress up as Isaiah teaching the class. Anyway, you have to communicate across generations. And your volunteer recruitment, your lesson planning, everything depends on you being a phenomenal communicator. That's so much pressure. I know. It's hard. And a lot of times your leadership may not understand what a hard job you have. Usually the youth pastor, everybody understands they're communicating with the teenagers who are supposed to talk to their parents and don't. We, as kids ministry leaders, or if you are a student ministries leader, or if you are a senior pastor, the better you get at communicating across generations, the more successful you're going to be, okay? So one of the best ways to do this is social media. When you are doing your social media, you are not targeting the kids in your kids' ministry. So Sunday morning, you need to speak kids. And it's different for elementary, third through fifth, than it is for your younger crew, K through second, or pre-K, or toddlers. So you have to speak the language there. But when you are doing social media, you are primarily communicating with your volunteer leaders and the parents. And I'm including grandparents and foster parents and step parents in that. So you have to learn how to be an effective communicator there. So the biggest pressback I get is, ugh, why Facebook? Ugh, I don't want to do Instagram. Okay, reason why. We're going to get a little more into this in just a minute. The majority of your Gen Xers, which is my age, are going to be Facebook. And so are your boomers. They're going to be Facebook, and so a lot of your volunteers are going to be Facebook. The millennials, some of them will be on Facebook. The vast majority of them will be on Instagram. Your Gen Z, almost none of them are on Facebook, but they're on Instagram and Snapchat, okay? You're going to have to communicate well across the board. And we're also going to talk about you got to be very careful, too, because you should not be communicating with a child just one-on-one, you and that child. So you're always going through an adult when you're doing that. All right, so what you do needs to be done with excellence. It needs to be consistent so that parents and volunteers know exactly when you're going to be posting. So for the Nurturing Faith Collective, they know there's going to be one every single day. Boom, 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 boom. 5 days a week. On my own, for our church volunteers, the volunteers know they will be getting an email with all the directions Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, period. And what I ran into when I first started there, now keep in mind, we had 600 kids on a Sunday morning, 275 kids on a Wednesday night. There are 276 volunteers that rotated through all of those. I was not able to hit every communication style on that one. So I'd have people say, no, I don't read emails, just text me. And then somebody else would say, well, I don't like text, just call me. Oh, I don't listen to voicemails, just send me a message on Facebook. So for that, I needed to streamline, and this took some time. You can train them one way, and you can train them another. So what I said for my volunteers only is I said, I am only communicating through email at 4 o'clock every Tuesday, period. And then I had to be consistent and even program it ahead of time when I was going to be gone. So then you'd have people, I don't read email. And I'd say, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know what? I'm going to have you work with Greg. Greg's going to print it for you and read it to you. Well, they never liked that. Then they're like, okay, fine, I'll read it. They just don't want to. So I'd say, you know, you can have a meeting with somebody on that morning and they'll let you know. And then I started giving out new information only through that conduit. And people would say, well, I didn't know. And I'm like, I'm so sorry you're not getting the emails. How can I help you log that in? And then they start reading them. Fine. You know, if we're going back to the Stone Age with a tablet and a hammer, like, this is how I'm going to communicate. It saved my sanity because I was running myself ragged with that many volunteers trying to, okay, this one wants messaging. This one wants text. This one wants, if you're doing that right now, you're probably already stressing yourself out. And as your church grows, you are going to be running yourself completely ragged, trying to get everyone's communication style. Because I had people too that are like, no, I don't do any of that. Just tell me on Sunday morning. Like, we have all that time on a Sunday morning. I didn't. I just said, you know what? We're not going to count on my memory for that. It's in the email every Tuesday. I had a proofreader that would go through it, and she'd catch all the stuff I didn't. But that was the main way. And people learned to print it out and put it on their fridge, those that had printers. And we streamlined the communication. This took a couple months before people learned I was serious, that I was not just going to find them on Sunday morning and tell them everything. The issue is here, if you have 20 volunteers, some of you are probably like, I wish God would give me 20 volunteers. But if you have 20 volunteers, you need to be acting like you have 40. So you need to get a communication style for that, because you always have to be trying to streamline things or you're not going to get to the next level. Does that make sense? Some of you inherited a little bit of a mess, so you might have 20 volunteers, but your church is still operating like you have 3. And you need to streamline that and save yourself the headache, and you'll get pressed back. They'll say, but we've always done it this way. That's nice. You trained them that way. Somebody trained them that way, and you can train them a different way. All right, so number 2, bell ringer. Why your strong social media presence is essential. So, and I like that. This is from Scripture. Paul was a master at speaking people's language. Paul was amazing at it. Well, he's very, very well educated. And Paul, he spoke Hebrew. He also spoke Greek. But he could just connect with people on anything. So Paul, as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of the altars had an inscription on it, to the unknown God. This God who you worship without knowing is who I'm going to tell you about. And he just goes right into Scripture like this incredible object lesson. So instead of going, idolatry, you guys are evil, evil. Greek is evil. I won't speak Greek. I'll only speak Hebrew. No. He would find a way, like, now here's how I'm going to tell you about the gospel in your own language. Bam. He was very good at that. So 1 Corinthians, he says, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So if you are not going to communicate well with someone, you are wasting your time. If the meaning is lost, what's the point? So you need to learn to communicate well across the board. Website versus social media. Okay, so the big press back I get here is we already have a church website. We have a church website. We're not, you know, why social media? I actually warned them at the Nurturing Faith Collective on this. I said, you do not get nearly the same traffic on a website that you do on, say, Facebook. So most churches have a website. If you get a report of how many views it gets, you're lucky if you get like 2 a week. Do you know who's going to that website? Not the parents and not your volunteers. It is potential visitors. So it's very important that you do have a good website, but most of those, let's just be honest, they're lucky if you get them updated every few years. So the visitors, people that have kids, are going to look at that and see if this is somewhere they want to bring their kids. That's who's looking at your website. So if I'm at a new town and I want to maybe take my kids there on a Sunday morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the website, see what the check-in process is. I'm going to look at the pictures they have there and go, is this something where my kid is going to have fun, be safe, make friends? That's how I'm going to decide if I'm going to visit your church. This is not where your volunteers and your parents are going to. They're already at your church. So your website is a useful tool for visitors, okay, not for everyday traffic. So we learned that in the Nurturing Faith Collective, too, because they're going, we're getting like 1 or 2 views on here a week, but the Facebook posts are getting over 1,000 per post each. And I said, that's because that's where we're hitting the people that are already convinced. Okay, so your website's important, but to communicate effectively with parents, grandparents, and your volunteers, you are going to need social media, and you're going to need a very strong social media presence. Your Facebook and Instagram will get views in front of people much more than your website will. And by the way, many years ago, you would go to the church of your brand that was closest to your house. That was just how things were done. So if you were Lutheran, you'd see your house and you'd figure out where the closest Lutheran church was and you'd go to that. That is not how it's done anymore. Hasn't been for a while. Now, 63% of all families still go to the church that has something for their kids, that has the best stuff for their kids. So the parents are like, I will sit through it even if I hate it because I want my kids to have fun. Whether you like that or hate that, it's reality. 63%. That's how they choose their churches, by what there is offered for their kids. We call this a child-run household complex. So the kids, whether you like it or hate it, often the children are deciding what the schedule is going to be. Hockey, soccer, football's really big where I live. But the children are deciding, so your social media presence can actually make it or break it for people coming to your church. We covered a little bit the social media communication differences between boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Alpha. My kids, 22 and 20, so both of my kids are Gen Z, so they can sometimes translate for me for Gen Alpha. But the kids in our kids' church, none of them, like even the 5th and 6th graders, are not on Facebook. They have Snapchat, which worries me. Most of them have a Snapchat. Some of them have Instagram. More of the Gen Z has Instagram. But you're going to need to, I would suggest you pick one and stick to it. And what we did with the Nurturing Faith Collective is we picked Facebook and Instagram because those had the highest traffic. And you post to one, you can set it to where it automatically posts to both. Does that make sense? So then we were hitting our Gen Z up through boomers. So you're not going to really hit Gen Alpha, but that's not your target. Okay? Does that make sense so far? All right. Snapchat, I'm not as thrilled with because usually that disappears after a few seconds. You can reset it, though, to be part of a story. I know sometimes I was at one church for a while where all of the teenage volunteers, they sent out Snapchats to all of them. I just get nervous with that because Snapchat gets used for some very not safe things. Yes. Yes.
You're not
right.
But the Gen Alpha, Gen Z, would they switch if something becomes in style? Like, would have to then keep our finger on the pulse to switch?
That is such a good question. I'm going to repeat that question for you. He's saying he doesn't figure, and I agree with you, that Gen X and boomers are going to change their communication style at this point. I don't think they are either. They're sticking with Facebook and Instagram typically. So if something new came out, they're probably still going to keep their Facebook and Instagram. So he's saying, would Gen Z and Gen Alpha change if something came out? Yes, I think they would be very open. They are what we call native technology speakers, meaning they just grab a new technology and just go because that's their native language. For me, I am a Gen X. I will always have an accent, so to speak. I am not a native technology speaker. I grew up with no internet. My first email was at North Central Bible College. So everything I've had in technology, I've had to learn, which I think is actually a plus for those of you that are Gen X or boomers, because we can. We can learn different ones and speak different languages. Just remember, you will always have an accent because you learned it later in life. These younger ones, that's their native language. And they can pick up a new one like that. So when a new technology comes out, they don't even hardly read the directions. They just go and figure it out. Gen Alpha, the one that we have right now that you're ministering to, they do not ever know a world without screens, because they've never had a world without touch screens. So immediately they see that screen, they touch it, and they start figuring it out, and they know it. So it's amazing how their brain works on that. That is their native language. So if another one came out, they might very well just start picking it up. I would say we always have to keep our fingers on the pulse of what that language is, because look how it changed from Gen X to millennials, and from millennials to Gen Z. It's just massive changes in there, and I fully expect it to keep changing. And we got to remember, for us, most of our communication is going to be with the parents and the adults and the volunteers. So what I would say is I have Gen Z workers who are phenomenal, by the way, and all of them check our Facebook page. They don't even have a Facebook, but they will look up the Facebook page to see what the next event is and what they have to do for it. They're native technology speakers, and they're like, where's the info? It's on Facebook. Okay, so they'll look it up. I don't think any of my Gen Z team has Facebook, but they know they will look it up there. So that's why I continue to use Facebook and Instagram, not because I think it's the best one. I think it's because my Xers and boomers will have a hard time switching. My Gen Z and millennials have no problem looking it up on Facebook, because I taught them that was the mainstream I was going to put all of that on. So I get to that in just a second, but good question. I do think the younger ones can flex better on that than the older ones, or will flex better. Okay, number three, your 1-2 punch. You can make a social media account for your ministry, your church, your parents, or your volunteers. Some people do all of the above, depending on the size of the church. They'll have a Facebook page for just their volunteers. They'll have a Facebook page for the parents, okay? I did the weekly email blast, is what we called it, for the volunteers, and then one Facebook page for the children's ministry, which was Discovery Town and later CLC Kids. Some churches put it all together on one Facebook. My only kickback on that is, even if you're a very small church, parents, they just want the info, and they're busy, and they're like, okay, what time is the bake sale on Sunday, and what do I have to bring? So they're going down, and if they have to scroll down through a bunch of other stuff and try to find it, it's easier if you have a children's ministry's Facebook page or a youth ministry, the student ministry's Facebook page. They'll go right to it, and hopefully that's what's there at the top, and they get, okay, there's my info, boom. The reason I like Facebook and Instagram, too, is they're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because you know that, you know, 5 minutes before that event that you're having at your church, 5 minutes, people are going to be calling the church. Wait, what time are we leaving? What was I supposed to pack? Well, I didn't remember a lot. This way, we could keep driving traffic for us, and we'd say, it's on the Facebook page, right at the top of the Facebook page. So if they couldn't get a hold of anybody at the church, Facebook's 24 hours a day. So if they work nights and they look at it 4 a.m., they get all the info. Okay? You do not want them calling you for all of this. If you're doing that right now, you need to stop. You need to change that. I've seen that too many times where it's just call me if you have a question. No! They should not be calling you for every question. Change your cell number. Give it only to your admin, okay? Drive them toward that Facebook page for all of their questions. That's what you need to be doing, because if you get it any bigger, you're going to blow up. You're going to fry like an egg if you are the one answering everybody's questions. You're going to be answering, for me, okay, with that many kids, when we had the kids choir singing for Christmas, I'm getting over 100 calls on what color socks are they supposed to be wearing? What if they don't have black socks? And the Facebook page was saying, it's black socks. If you don't have them, they'll be provided on the day. But they'll just keep calling and calling. And it took a while. We trained them where they would go look at the Facebook page. And that works so much better because they could do it on their own time. They'd screenshot it. This is what I need to get for my kid for the Christmas box giveaway. Perfect. You need to move that off of you as much as possible. So you can make social media accounts for every single thing if you want. I did email blasts for volunteers, Facebook and Instagram for our ministries. So here's what's upcoming in the ministry. We'll get into content here in a second, but you should like do a volunteer spotlight. This week we're spotlighting this volunteer, and they're so awesome, and here's a 3-minute blurb from them about how much they love serving in ministry. Quick little fact. Those little 60-second, 90-second reels, I think this whole first row would already know this, they're going to get so many more views than anything else you post. We learned that at the Nurturing Faith Collective. So you post the best picture you've ever posted, that'll get a normal amount of views. Post a little 60-second video, that's going to get probably in the thousands. It'll be multiplied many times over. So you say, well, that's really, I don't know how to do that. Go get one of them, and they'll show you how. That's what I always say at my church. If you don't know how to do it, go find a third grader and say, hey, record me doing this, and then I'm going to upload it to the site. And it can be real simple, real easy. Hey, guys, I'm really excited about this Sunday. Remember the BGMC challenge. Don't forget to bring in all those pennies and nickels and dimes and $50 bills. You know, and they'll tape that, And then you learn how to, if you don't know how to edit it, find them. And then you edit it and you upload it. Then you get so many views. So many views. It gets you so many more than you'll get from any other post. Yes. It'd be parents. Yes. And especially the younger the parent is, the more. Because the second you get more than 2 minutes, you've lost them usually. So the younger the parent, the more they go for those reels. But a lot of the times the parent is showing it to the kid, but it is great to let the parents know. So sometimes I've just used it to say, hey, parents, remember, it's the challenge this Sunday. You better send your kids with macaroni and cheese because we have to get 500 boxes of macaroni and cheese. Make sure your child is on the winning team. Any kind of macaroni and cheese, something like that. Because you're right, it's the parents typically watching them. So this is your big chance to communicate with those parents and say, just a reminder, those camp applications are due in 3 days. No, seriously, I meant it. Three days? Really? Get those applications in and then tell them how to do it. Streamline your communication to increase participation and decrease confusion. Don't give your parents 5 different sites they have to go to. They're going to be so frustrated and confused. I try to have one page, you know, our Facebook page, our Instagram, everything is there. They'll get notified when there's a new thing. And when new parents come in, we get them on there. So they have one thing they need to check, just one, not 12. You're going to frustrate them if there's more than that. Number 4, be careful who sets up your social media accounts due to two-step identification. Two-step. I know my age group, we get frustrated. I get very frustrated. I'm like, two-step verification. What is this? I'm just wasting my time. Of course I'm me. There's two-step verification is extremely important. And we ran into a problem with the Nurturing Faith Collective. So we had a lady that set up all of our social media for us, which was wonderful of her. She set it up knowing I was going to be the director for social media. So she set it all up. She lives in Florida. I live in Wisconsin. She set it all up using her phone number. So then when I would go in to put up the posts, they'd say, we have two-step verification. She knows where this is going. And they're like, enter the number we just sent to your phone. So I'm calling her in Florida. She's not picking up because she's at a movie. I'm texting her, I need that number, and by the time she sends it to me, this number is expired. So we're doing this day after day, and I kept putting in there to try to change it to mine, and they're like, okay, we'll change it to this. We just sent a code to your phone. Oh, this went on for the longest time, and we were trying to get a human being to try to switch it over. Just understand whatever phone number you use for that had better be very long term. Because if that person leaves the church or retires or whatever, they're still going to be whoever they send the code to forever and all time. We ran it. There was a lady in Orlando who she was talking to me at the last conference. She's so frustrated because they've been battling the same issue. And then she still gets the verification codes for some church she was at years ago, and she's like, oh, and they keep trying to fix it. Be very careful who you put on that, because it's going to be a pain in the neck if they ever decide to move. Okay, round one, password considerations. 3 must-dos and 5 must-nots. I told you my husband is a IT security, IT manager. He said, Trish, I cannot tell you how many people at this company still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's just frustrating for him, or A, B, C, D, E, F. He said, if you ever need to, like in the movies, break into something, it's probably one of those two. Or the word password. Yep. Some of you are like, oh no, I'm going to have to change my passwords when I get home. Yeah, so that's usually what it is. So you tell me, it doesn't matter, who cares? You will care if somebody gets in. And I remember thinking, oh, well, who would want to if it's a small thing? Well, our little town, I live in this town called New London in Wisconsin, and they have a pet rescue there, an awesome pet rescue. They've helped so many animals. They've saved so many dogs, saved so many cats. Somebody got in, hacked in there, and started posting the most awful, gruesome pictures of animals being killed and animal parts and saying they're eating the animals there or whatever. And they reported saying, that's not us, so Facebook completely shut everything down. To this day, it's been 2 years, they have not been able to get their account back. So they've lost all those pictures, all the testimonials and stories they had on there, everything's gone. Which is also why I'm going to tell you, you better back up everything you have. If you care about it, you better back it up. Do churches get hacked? All the time, because their passwords are so easy to figure out. There's some really weird people in the world. And usually what do they post on there? Porn. That's the number one. So you just imagine your kids' page, your church's page, just tons of porn. That's the number one thing they post. If not, they'll start posting horrible things with swear words in there and blasphemous stuff, just for kicks and giggles. And if it's a website, you probably will have to shut that website off and start all over. If it is your kids' ministry page, you'll have to go through Facebook, shut it down. The problem is you can still see it sometimes in archived stuff, and you will never get any of your material back that was on there. You will never get it back. It's over. So hopefully you backed it all up. You don't think they'll go after yours because it's small? Oh, sure they would, just for fun. So you need to have a very strong password. No, it should not be 123456 or A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or password. It needs to be something very, very difficult, which I hate. I hate that because I can't remember it, and then I have to change it again. And then I hate it, and I have to change it again, and my husband will be like, remember. You know, you remember what happens. So make a very, very tough password. Do not forget to back up all of your pictures, because to me, those are precious. Those pictures of that VBS, those pictures of those kids, they made a macaroni and cheese tower when we were raising them for the homeless. I don't want to lose those, right? You better back it up. You better have a very strong password. I also would not give out your password to very many people, one or two that you absolutely trust. And then if it's already automatic on your phone, don't leave your phone sitting open. Now, I had that happen to a friend of mine. I thought it was hilarious. She did not. It was one of the kids from Kids Church. She left her phone logged into the Facebook page for the kids ministry. And this kid was just like, Kyle was here, you know, so it wasn't anything horrible, but it could have been. Okay, it could have been. So content, what is content? Content is anything you post on your page. So if it's a picture, that's content. If it's a 60-second reel, that's content. Okay, the more content you have on there, the better. So for the Nurturing Faith Collective, I do 5 days a week. They said when you are building your page, you need to do that. You need to post a lot consistently. You can schedule the posts. I have 3 weeks of them scheduled right now because I have to be traveling, and they'll just automatically post, okay? If you don't post anything on there, people very quickly realize it, and it smells like dust, and they're like, well, nothing good on here. I'm not going to get any new information. It's starting to look like a website then. Not updated in 3 or 4 years. So you need to be posting on there all the time. Even if it's just like, hey, I'm Pastor Kyle and I'm eating this sandwich, I'm thinking of you guys, you know. Anything like that, we do that with our team members. Like, here's this team member in Costa Rica teaching or whatever. Picture, comment. Oh, You're a pastor. You could recommend a book on there. Hey, parents, get this book. I really like this book. This really helped. And then put the link on down below. Get the book right here. You're driving more traffic to your site by doing this, but you need to post consistently. And they'll be like, oh, my goodness, that just came out. So this is new. Post about your upcoming events. Highlight a volunteer. Have your senior pastor get on there and say, I am so excited about this in kids ministry. Have your student ministries pastor get on there. I'm so excited for the sixth graders that are coming up. We're going to throw water balloons at each other. So you need to consistently post. Is it a lot of work? You better believe it is. It is a lot of work. But what I did at our church is I had a Gen Z 19-year-old come up with a lot of ideas of what to post. I had to run them by me first, and there were a couple I was like, no, we are not advertising a blood sport battle sock to the death. No. The parents are the ones reading this, and they're going to freak out. But have somebody help you, especially someone young who's a native technology speaker, to help you. You just make sure you look at what they're going to post first. So you can use behind-the-scenes pics, volunteer spotlights, articles, updates, openings, events, quotes. Sometimes on the Nurturing Faith Collective, I just put a quote of the day, a children's ministry's quote of the day. People love that. We call them Polly Pockets. I don't know why. It just is. So I don't know. I thought that was a weird name. But Polly Pockets, it's a quote about kids' ministry or about your church or something awesome you heard in a quote this week from the pastor. Oh, we did that. We do that too. We'll take a part of our pastor's sermon that we thought was powerful, post it on there as a Polly Pocket. Testimonies. We don't do enough testimonies. We don't do enough testimonies. It increases people's faith. Put some testimonies on there. Put a 60-second thing from the baptism of kids you had that Sunday. So tag in. Assign a point person to answer all questions in a timely manner. Keep it positive. Remember that the internet is forever. Oh, I beg people to think about this. Even if you delete it, it's still there somewhere on the internet. The internet is forever. Think before you post. Never, ever get into an argument or conflict with somebody online. Face-to-face only. So usually what I do if somebody's getting nasty, and yes, they do it on church things. Church things. Okay? Now they told me my kid couldn't come to church on Sunday because he had a body-wide rash, and it's not contagious, but he caught it at daycare, and he's got green pus coming out of his nose, and they're hateful, and Jesus would have accepted my kid, whatever. So you don't get into that online. The internet is forever. So you shut that down. You can mute it. You can hide it, right? You don't have to get into it with them right there. And then usually I'll try to talk to them about it face to face, not over social media. Social media is forever. It's always there somewhere. I don't post negative things. I keep everything really positive, even on my personal sites. Anybody that starts getting mean or negative, or they try to hijack it, we call that stolen pulpit. And I bet a few of you have had this. Stolen pulpit. So you may have more followers than this person, and they really want to preach their personal message, you know, that we should be having church on a Thursday, or that we all should get to have 14 spouses. Whatever they start preaching on your site, you need to shut that down right away, because that's not their pulpit. They're making it a pulpit, but that's a stolen pulpit. Shut them down. They just want a bigger audience. Just boop, mute that, turn it off. You can do that. You can hide their comments. Sometimes I don't delete it, I hide it. So they don't know that nobody else can see it. And we call that not feeding the trolls. Don't feed the trolls. You feed the trolls, they multiply, and the trolls keep coming back. There's people that are addicted to drama. They are addicted, and they'll keep coming to you if you give them their fix. Don't give them a fix. They're wanting drama, and they want to fight, and they want to start fights on Facebook. shut them down. I will not get into it with them on there. You won't win. There's no winning. You just shut that down right now. So no trash talk. Keep it positive. Remember, the internet is forever. Multi-site posting platforms. So you've got Flick, Meta. There's a few others out there. Hootsuite. I use both Flick and Meta. Flick is paid, so you have to pay for that. It's a yearly subscription. Meta is free. And Meta just will only post on Facebook and Instagram. Flick, I think you can get up to four. But for me personally, Meta's been fine. It's free. The benefits of Flick is it has the AI generated. It helps you if you want to have AI generated posts. Flick will tell you what hashtags are really popular. And the latest I've heard is they say if you're allowed 30 hashtags, use all 30. Use them all. Just like a scattergun, shotgun effect. Go for all 30 if they give you 30. Flick will help you know which ones are trending, which will get more views. So I like Flick. I've had really good success, though, with Meta, and Meta's free. Meta Business Suite. Knockout. So sharing Facebook forums, designated shares, hashtags, likes, and follows. The hashtags are really important. The more likes and follows you get. How can you get your parents to get on your Facebook page? This is the best way to do it. I learned this from a kids pastor friend. You're going to love this. So the next time your senior pastor has you give an announcement up front in a main service, you ask every parent in the room to pull out their phone and show it to you and not lie because they're in church. You know they have it and they're looking at it. Then you have them go to your page. Give them the page. Put it up there and say, okay, go to Living Waters Kids right now and click like. Why? Because now they're going to get every one of your posts when it comes out. So I've seen people go, well, I have two followers and I've had this account for 3 years. Just asking people, when you get home, like this site, they're not going to remember. They're not going to remember. Or have your pastor do it. All right, all the parents, hold this up. Now click like. That's your best way. You can get all the parents following in one day, or at least a good portion of them. Do that. That's how you get more of them on there. The hashtags help people find your posts. So having hashtags on there, they work really well. Likes, follows. Oh, designated sharers and forums. How many of you are on a kids ministry or a youth ministry or pastor's forum on Facebook, a Facebook group? Okay, I had to really push for this one with Nurturing Faith Collective because, okay, one of them I'm on, Children's Pastors and Children's Ministry Leaders, has 7,000 children's pastors on it, okay? So when I put a post on there, 7,000 kids pastors are going to see it, all right? So you can put a question on there, hey, what do you guys think of this post? And they'll tell you. It's pretty awesome. So if you're on a parent forum on Facebook or whatever, you'll get a lot more views. You'll get a whole lot more views. So you could ask two or three parents. That's not that hard, right? Ask two or three parents in your church, when I post this, will you share it on your Facebook? Because the whole point is you get a lot of views. That's the whole point. You want a lot of people to see it. So designated sharers, that's what I mean by that. Hacking, we talked about that. Cloning, that's where they make a site that looks identical to yours and they try to get people to follow them. So then you need to come on and say, anything else is not me. That is not me. So you could report the fake one to Facebook. The only problem is they may shut down both. That's happened once or twice because they can't figure out which one. It's a machine figuring it out. But cloning happens a lot. That's not hacking. That means they just made one that looks exactly like yours to try to steal all of their people and sell something usually, or scam. But you can report that, put something out and says, that's not me. Anything else that has my face, that's not me. So that people know, don't be friends with the fake me. Stolen pulpit, we talked about that. Sometimes they're marketing. Sometimes they're selling something. Sometimes they're just weird and they're trying to promote whatever they're into. Okay, I just threw a lot at you. Questions? I like dumped so much on you this morning, I know. Any questions? Yes. Okay. Awesome. Okay.
Because I post, I know how to do all of this stuff, but they don't.
And so I'm just, gotcha.
And I'm not on their social media where I can post things, so I have to go through her, which sometimes takes.
It takes time. It's one more go around. Okay, she's saying, how can I convince my pastor and his wife to let us have a children's ministries page? Well, there's a couple ways to go about that. You can mention that most of the church is involved in the kids ministry. So you've got the parents and the grandparents, the volunteers, and the kids.
They are very kid-minded.
Yes. So you'd say, this lady who does it said that having a kids ministry specific one is usually more effective. The other way you could do it is say, hey, I have all of these posts. Could you post these for me? And then just give her like 347 of them. And then after a while, she's going to be like, you know what, you should have your own. I think you should have your own. But if you say, we're very kid-minded, we want this to be streamlined, we want to answer parents' questions quickly and effectively, and the general church one probably shouldn't get taken over because I have so many posts, it's going to be a kids' ministry one anyway. I think I said that to one pastor. It's going to be a kids' ministry one. All will be assimilated. We're going to have so many for us. We're going to take over. And they're like, yeah, just make your own. Because, they had one like a month. And we had so much going on. And we were posting more.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
I created one, probably 10 years ago when Grace first started. And she's on that one. But we created that. I changed it over for the youth. And they don't really post much on that.
Yep. I would say to make the kids and youth one into just youth and launch a whole new one for kids ministry. Because people are always excited when it's new and say, here's the new awesome stuff we have going on. Be part on the ground floor of the launch. Yes. And if you are just launching, you need to post. The more you can post, the better. Daily is best. And you don't have to do it all in one day. You can preload them. Just do it all at once, and then they'll go automatically for a few weeks, and that whole time you're getting more and more and more followers, hopefully.
My question was, so would you say Gen Alpha's parents are like millennials? I mean, I have two Alpha kids, but I'm Gen X, but like, would you say they're mostly millennials? Like, who, I know we have to tag the whole thing. But
yeah, I think the majority of Gen Alpha's parents are millennials. The youngest parents we have right now are Gen Z, and they're usually nursery kids.
Yeah, like babies.
Yeah, baby babies. So I would say millennials. So most of your millennials are on Instagram. So what I like is I post once on Meta, and it goes on Facebook and Instagram all at once. So I don't have to post twice. I just post once. Nice. That's so smart. That's it. I 100% agree. And I need to launch a TikTok for ours. Our younger crew is like, yeah, you got to get on TikTok. Yeah, I was on there and you're not on there. I didn't find anything from you on TikTok. And I'm like, So I'm going to have to find, some help from this age group in our church that can help me learn another language.
Yeah.
That's really smart. That's really good.
With my, I'm 18, I'm Gen Z. If you do not have a social media presence yet, before you announce, before you make it public, get at least 5 posts on there. Because if your post, like if you don't have anything on your social media and you say, go look at it, it's not going to get any traction if people are only looking at it. And even if you only have one, that's also not going to get any traction because it will, like, if you only have one thing, people aren't looking at very much on your page. So then the algorithm says, okay, people aren't that interested in this page, we're going to push it down. So you want, before you announce that you've launched it, get multiple things on it. So when people go to look, they're like, okay, I'm going to look at this, 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 and this because you're on it and your brain just says, okay, like let's scroll down and see. So make sure that you have at least, I would say at minimum, 5 posts on it.
I mix them up, because a whole variety, and she's absolutely right, because if you get everybody to go and you've got one post on there, it's kind of like, well, this is lame, and a lot of people aren't going to give you a lot of chances. So it's like, first impression. So we didn't really start promoting ours till we had 3 months of material. So and variety, reels, pictures, book reviews. Yes. You want to have something on there first before you really promo it. And don't beat yourself up if it takes a little while to get traction. It takes a while for all of us.
So at the very beginning, you talked about kind of communication to leaders. Hey, this is where I'm going to send it. I'm going to email it out. Yeah. And those who say, well, I don't have an email. If you're being, and not that it's narrow-minded, right. You are going to say, this is how I communicate. This information, and they say, I'm not going to do it. Is that not leading to disengagement? Or like, because I mean, for me, we will send out our email every Wednesday or every Tuesday. This is what we're doing Wednesday night. This is what we need you to know. See you at the 6 o'clock meeting. And we have the same 2 people that look at it, and then all these people show up disengaged. Well, did you read it? No. Okay, well, why didn't you? Well, I mean, we just show up. But you need the information. How do you keep it from being, I don't really care the information you're giving. Right. If you're going to make it narrow for me to get the information, right. Why do I even need it?
Right.
They're going to just say, I don't care about the information, is how I've seen it.
That's a really good question. So what we did is I had a volunteer that would print off copies and hand them out Sunday. So then you always have the people that didn't come Sunday.
Sure.
But if they didn't come Sunday and they didn't check their email, they're already kind of a disengaged volunteer. And the ones that do have email, let's be honest, some of them did not read it. And they show up to teach and they still haven't looked at it. So a good question, you said they still show up, which is good. They show up, maybe disengaged. One thing I've done is I've been like, okay, if you bring a black mug to this meeting, I'm giving you a candy bar. And then some of them are like, why didn't I get a candy bar? Oh, I guess you didn't read it. You do that a couple of times and they pick up. One more quick question. I'm coming. I love the pink.
Okay, so I'm definitely older. At 63, I don't really do email well. It's not my thing. But my 80-year-old husband does.
Oh my goodness.
So maybe if somebody is saying to you, I don't do email, there's your spouse. Do you have a teenager in the home?
I love it. And we did print copies where they could pick them up at church. I love that. Find a third grader.